for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, July the 3rd, 2003. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister on this tape.
This is Brother Jim Landry, and he's a board member of the campground. He pastors a couple of churches along with his job down in Beaumont, Texas, and him and his wife are a great blessing to the campground, and his wife is a wonderful minister to women's conferences. She wasn't able to come along this time. She's just kind of been conferenced out behind and more coming ahead of her. So we reneged and let her stay home. But we appreciate Brother Jim and his wife and the blessings they are to us here. Brother Jim takes care of all of our foreign ministries who inquire about coming to the campground and to the different conferences. We turn that over to Brother Jim, and he takes care of the correspondence with those from other countries, other nations. And I appreciate that.
God bless you all. Hopefully, and I trust tonight that God is going to do a great and great blessing upon your lives. I'm confident that many of you that have had issues that you're being before the Father with, that tonight you're going to receive your deliverance. God is so faithful. We live in a time that there's such great exploitation of our youth. So if you'll be patient with me for a moment, we'll share what the Lord has given us on this. And I pray, oh God, that you'll grant me wisdom in the delivery of this message. God, grant me wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Greetings to all of you. A lot of new faces and a lot of friends. A lot of new friends. I am so happy to know that I have you as my co-partners in the faith. Soldiers of the Lord. We're in a war, and God has sent all of us here, including myself years ago, that we might be trained and commissioned to do battle. Tonight we will look at the exploitation of our youth. And I will specifically be talking about the infants. I'm sure many of you have seen the television commercials that exploit the youth, the infants, particularly those that are naked, swimming in water, running around the house in their television commercials, undressed, in order to sell their products. To many, this is probably just something innocent. Perhaps it is. However, God's word warns us concerning the showing our nakedness to another. In fact, to assume that all of the individuals that are watching these television commercials are watching the movies about infants in nudity are not entertaining their sexual fantasies would be a great deception. If anything, this exploitation of the infants is a tool Satan is using to promote more dysfunctional individuals that prey upon our children. Our children will be the future apostles, those that will govern the body. They will be the future prophets that will guide the church. They will be the future teachers that will ground the believers in God's word. They will become the future evangelists that will gather God's flock. And they will become the future pastors that will guard God's sheep. This is why Satan, I believe, is making an all-out effort to destroy the minds of our youth. The enemy desires to destroy the future generations and that they might be a generation of professed believers walking in compromise. And perhaps many in the church to think today that it's all cute because they do not understand the long-term consequences of the exploitation of our youth. Many of us here tonight have something like a hole. And we've been searching and seeking God to deal with the issues of our heart. God, what's the truth that'll make me free? that's just an emptiness there. I'm flowing with God. I love God. The ministry is going forward. We're prosperous. But there's just something there. There's just some sign of a defilement there. And I just can't get a handle on it. And perhaps if not you, then certainly somebody that you're going to minister to is going to need this message. I will, as the Lord leads me, share this message in four parts. And I'm speaking to the ministers here that's going to assist me also tonight so that you might know your positioning. First of all, I will share with you on tonight's message is the profiles of a pedophile. So you might say we're going to talk about pedophile. Then, at the conclusion of the words that I share with you, then we will talk to you about how to keep your children from being molested. And that will be brought to you in a few minutes by Theodore Rush. Afterwards, we're going to tell you about how to heal the wounds and the breaches as a result of the defilement. And that will be shared with you by Tamara Tidwell. Now, it sounds like we got a long hour session. But at the end, conclusion of this ministry, you're going to have wished that we maybe could have went another hour or two. So, I might suggest that you get the tape. Our children are a priceless commodity, you might say. I don't want to use the word commodity, but they mean so much to us. And some of us are not aware that when they're little infants and how they're put together with ligaments and muscle tissue, nerves. I don't know about you, but I have had a SIDS death in my family. It's not a nice thing for a daughter to wake up and a son-in-law to wake up and the baby is dead. Then you get to the hospital and you're going to raise the dead. Then you watch one of the relatives in ministry with you grab him and hold the baby. Oh, my baby. I said, ah, too late. Can't get any agreement there. But anyway, so much for that. Those who had ears to hear that one heard. It's not a nice thing when you take your children when they're less than 3 or 4 months old and you throw them up in the air and snap their necks. Start cutting off their circulation. Start giving them arthritis and all these other things when that little tiny little head snaps. It's not even good to pull their arms, you know. Daddy likes to play with the baby. That's not even what we're going to talk about tonight. Some of the greatest atrocities committed in our society, both past and present, or against our children. Are these crimes against our most innocent members of our society becoming more numerous? Or are these crimes just getting reported more frequently? In the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, verse 15, I want to read to you about the nation of the Canaanites. In Genesis 10:15, it says, "And Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, Girgashite, Hivite, Arkite, Sunite, Arkavite, Semorite, Hathromite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites were from Sidon as thou goest to Gezer, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and to Gomorrah, unto Admah, Zebulun, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their nations, and in their, in their countries and in their nations." These lands here that was promised to Abraham and to Israel here were the lands of the Ikes. The Ikes were a fearful and terror-provoking, murderous people. It is where we commonly get the word dynamite and many other Ike words that we find today. And it's very interesting, and these were the promised land that God's people were promised. The land of Canaan also contained and was heavily involved in all types of sexual immorality. We find at the onset of this in Genesis, the 9th chapter, verse 19, where it speaks about the sons of Noah and how the whole earth was overspread and how Ham saw his father's nakedness and the curse came in then on the Canaan, on that whole Canaan land. So you might say like father, like son, Ham and Canaan spreading their sins and the corresponding curses generation after generation. Now, it's interesting when you do a study on the Canaanites, you'll find that there were 13 specific sins that are listed in the Word of God relating to the Canaan land specifically. All right, they are homosexuality, incest, inordinate affection, adultery, bestiality, whoredoms, and witchcraft, which related directly to the sexual sins, as you'll see the remaining also do. The remaining sinful acts were idolatry, profanity, dishonor to parents, murder, stealing and lying. And as you have heard, all of their sins work together, you might say, as a team. No doubt in this nation of people existed all types of sexual immoralities. Let me share some that maybe wasn't covered in those 13 I listed specifically, such as lesbianism, morphodikes, people possessing two types of genitals. Then there was, of course, self-gratification, abortions, orgies were common, rape, nymphomania, prostitution, sex with demons, sex with animals, abuse. Then there the open sexual activity with the spirits of succubus and incubus. Succubus are the spirits that come and have sex with men, incubus with women. And many people do not know how to handle this situation because they don't know where they can go and to get help in these things. And so they continue for many, many years of attack by these spirits who come in, particularly widows, men or women that have spouses have gone on. The spirits will come in the name of those spouses. But you'll find that a lot of young people, a lot of young men and women also have been attacked by the incubus and succubus, and it is not a respectable person. It's not always females. Then there's adult child sex took place there. And the list goes on and on, of course, and we know that all of this taking place there, the pedophile was there too. Would you agree that the Ikes are still existing today? We still have these type of sins going on today? Absolutely. And we know from definition, scripture, that fornication is the word which covers all unlawful sexual acts, okay? Now, there are several areas of concern that where Satan and his demons are continuing the sexual sins of the Canaanites. There's sexual abuse that's going on. Sins, as I mentioned in the opening statements, the sudden infant death syndrome. Then there's incest predators. There is rapists. Or you might say profiles of incest, profiles of rapists, because there are different profiles for each one. And perhaps that'll be something else we'll share at another date. However, I believe that the Lord is directing me for this service to target the profile of the pedophile and his targeted victims, infants. Now, I want to stay at about 3 years and below, specifically for this service. Now, we can go all kind of ways, and we can go for 3 to 4 days straight, but we're going to stay under three tonight. Sexual abuse in the child is one of the most, if not the most, horrendous crimes that's committed in our society. It's becoming more frequent on an almost daily basis. Every one of us needs to realize that a child sexual molester is not always the guy wearing a dark trench coat with his hat pulled down over his eyes. No, he could easily be the guy next door, the teacher. They like to position themselves, the daycare worker. The preacher, or even someone in your own home. And things operate a little different when it comes to adult child sex abuse. When a person is murdered, they just dead. But when a child is sexually molested, raped, they live with it for the rest of their lives. So many adults are hurting today because as infants, they were molested, raped, or fondled as infants, and there is an emptiness that within them that longs to be filled. It's just an issue that's not being dealt with. Do I teach on this all the time? No. I couldn't believe when the Lord put on my heart the other day. I didn't have much sleep. So, this is what campgrounds is all about. Do I know it? Sure. I sit on the teachers for years, and I never do it till I feel like, I don't feel like anything. He just said, do it now. I said, okay. So I'm going to share some things with you tonight. I'm going to really open your minds. I don't want you to become suspicious or anything like that. Just want you to get some blessings and some help if you need it. But more or less, I want to ask the Lord leads me to equip you to better be counselors and ministers to the body that have been oppressed by the enemy through pedophiles. Many times because people have this emptiness because of defilement, because they have been fondled or penetrated as an infant, they turn to a promiscuous lifestyle. They turn to some turn to prostitution. Because of the defilement of their souls, they're searching for love in the wrong places. Only the Lord can heal these deep wounds and repair the breaches. Let me give you some statistics about this. One out of every three females before they reach high school are going to be sexually misused in some way. One out of every six men or males before they reach high school are going to be sexually misused in some way. One in five rape victims are under the age of 12, and 10% of all rape victims are under the age of 5. How do pedophiles carry out their crimes?
Jim?
Yes.
Explain explicitly what a pedophile is.
Okay, a pedophile, let me give you a definition of a pedophile, is a person having a sexual preference for children, specifically. And for the sake of tonight's service, I'm going to say the professional pedophiles don't want them past 2.5. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, come on, this is a good one tonight. I know the Lord gave it to us. Let's get it.
The American
Psychiatric Association is now moving to remove the diagnosis from of pedophilia from the standard diagnosis nomenclature. In short, they're making it a non-disease, a non-entity, a normal practice. The same thing they did with homosexuality 20 years ago. And they're moving for that this year.
Right. Right.
They lowered the age. I mean, in some European countries, the age of consent is 12 years. They want to lower the age of consent to 6 or 8 years. They say, besides, if it is done with love, it's okay. Because love is so scarce now.
How do they carry out these crimes? Let's talk first of all about the hymen. I'm going to give you a definition of the hymen. According to Webster's, and I think it's the 10th edition also, it's a thin fold of mucous membrane partly closing the orifice of the vagina. The definition according to the American Medical Association is a thin fold of membrane surrounding the vagina opening. The hymen has a central perforation, you might say something like this, a central perforation that is usually stretched or torn by the use of tampons or during the first sexual intercourse. Now, mind you, I did mention to you that by definition and by those who examine the hymens, it is very clear that there is a perforation. I know popular myth has you believing that it is a complete sheet covering with no opening. It does have an opening. Now, once torn, the hymen becomes an irregular ring of tissue around the vaginal opening. So this is kind of symbolic of that here. And I don't want to give her a name. But anyway, the pedophiles have, from many generations ago and through careful networking of their perverted lifestyles, have taken advantage of our ignorance concerning the hymen of an infant. I explain more in a second. Let's deal with another point first. Another point of importance is the pedophiles normally do not reach the state of climax because what they're interested in is power and control, so there's generally no evidence inside the infant that the child is being molested sexually. So what about the blood? I'll cover that in a minute, too. With them is power, of course. How many of you are familiar with estrogen or estrogen hormones?
Good.
The estrogen hormone is a group of hormones essential for normal female sexual development and for the healthy function of the reproductive system. In women, they are produced mainly in the ovaries. When a baby girl is born, remember the pedophiles know this, she shares in the estrogen of her mother. In other words, the baby girl comes in the world with the estrogen hormones that God has given her. They remain with her, say, in high levels, usually to the age of 2 to 2.5 years of age. Afterwards, the estrogen hormone return again at puberty, which is at the time that the female can bear children. I would assume that many of you have had sons and daughters. I had 3 daughters, so when we are washing our children, little babies, little infants, no big issue. We wash all our little children. Then all of a sudden, around 2 or 2.5 years of age, it hurt, Daddy. The estrogen level is left. And the hymen that was like this does this. And then it comes back around puberty. Now, I'm not a physician, but I'm pretty close to what I'm saying. And I'm not going to add too much to it so I don't go over. In our city, I have a whole lot. We got preachers, everybody going to jail. But in our city, there was an individual that was caught in a penetrating his own daughter, who was less than 1 week old, on the kitchen table The mother walked in the door, and he was penetrating the child, and the mother grabbed the child and ran down there, and they were first thing the doctors are looking for is blood or semen. It don't work that way. And then I don't want to get into it because each state has different laws concerning penetration and so forth. So that's a different issue. I'm telling you, these pedophiles know this. What about you? In pedophilia, it is a sexual perversion in which the children are the preferred sexual objects. The definition, as I mentioned earlier, of the pedophile is a person having a sexual preference for children, and there are basically three types of pedophiles. Now, you need to know what I just told you about this hymen, because they have learned how to penetrate, and I'm not talking about a long penetration, but they know what they're doing in order to get off, and that's how they get off, without tearing a hymen in an infant. Easy. And perhaps Doc may have more to say on that, I don't know. But the first type of pedophile is called a fixated pedophile. This individual has been interested in pedophilia since the age of about 14 years, thereabout. This individual has not had an adult sexual affair, or if so, the affair was a failure. Very selective of his victim, and looked very planned to be near large, he wrote him. He submitted to our authority, and we did some seminars, and now he's known and requested all over the world to teach this stuff. So that's how I'm aware of all the people being sent to jail. So some of these things I'm telling you is coming from the things that we know of as these people were apprehended. One of the pedophiles, or the fixated pedophile, greatest fear is not to be able to be around children. They just gotta be around children. He has an inappropriate adult-to-child relationship. Let me give you an example. That was a man in the church, and little Miss So-and-so get cold on Sunday mornings. So she sit right here next to old Reverend Dr. Feelgood. And Reverend Dr. Feelgood would throw his jacket over here. And the whole time he was rubbing on, she don't know different if you rubbing on her cheek or rubbing on her butt. She don't know no different. Well, this went on for some time until he got to where he fell in love with the little infant, or the little girl. And when Mama would drop her off to school, he was right there. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, for a minute, how to keep your children from being molested. Because when Daddy's friend showed up, right behind Mama dropping off, she jumped in the car with Daddy's friend. And Daddy's friend would go around the corner and sit on her lap. She would sit on Daddy's friend's lap until Daddy's friend had done what he had to do. Okay? In this case, in his crime, it was not penetration. It was a self-gratification of masturbation, using the baby. Clean her off and put her back in the school. This went on for a long time before this guy was caught. I assure you, I can remember as far as back as being about four, the man that was babysitting trying to get us to, what might be a best way to say something, oral sex to a person, my brother and sister. I remember this, even as a little youth right now. I'll tell you exactly what room it was in, where it was happening at. I had to be four or five because I was sitting up there saying, no! Amen. That doesn't mean everybody was successful that night, but that don't mean I was better, but I remember. Because we did develop an area where we could never bond that guy. You know, as I got older, I just, you know. Also, he's known as the Candy Man. Now, we got people out there thinking, it's cool, I want to be known as the Candy Man. That's what the pedophile fixated is known by his fellow peers, Candy Man. The second side is regressed or transitional. He had, or has, or may have an adult relationship, but still has a preference for children. This adult affair is usually not a good one. He's also very selective of his victims. He may plan his career so as to be near children. He may also keep photos of the victims. Usually a pillar in the community also on this one. Some of you seen that on TV or on the news here about 3 or 4 months ago, this mayor having the prostitute bring her daughter over. One of his greatest fears in life is not to be able to be around children. He is known by the and called in his slang as the chicken hawk. We have a saying around the church at home, buzzard. And the third and final type is the bidifferential or undifferential. He does not have a love affair for children. This is what we face in our city when the child was killed and murdered. He is usually borderline impotent or impotent, and can only achieve a sexual goal of gratification by hurting, maiming, or killing the child during or connected with a sexual act. He usually has one thing on his mind, his own sexual gratification. he is known by or called the pervert. How do we keep our children from being molested?
In love and in truth. And there is no love without truth. These shoes will carry me over rocks. They'll carry me over glass. They'll carry me over everything. But when I'm barefooted, I'm going to have to be careful of how I walk. I want you to turn to Genesis, and we're going to read about Lot. We're talking about these perverts. We can call them perverts, but we can also call them what they really are. They're workers of Satan, and they have come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the quicker they can destroy that beautiful creature that God has created in His image, He's going to do it. Now, we're talking here in the Genesis, the 19th chapter. This is where Sodom and Gomorrah came in. This whole city was perverts, homosexuals. Lost my glasses. When we start reading in chapter 19, verse 4, they're in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the whole house was compensated by homosexuals, perverts, old and young, all the people of every quarter. That means the rich and the poor alike, brother. These were angels that had come into Lot, and they do not understand forgiveness of sin. They are perfect in their creation and faithful unto God that created them without any whatsoever hesitation of thoughts of sin, or they wouldn't any longer be the presence of God. And what do these perverts want? Bring those men out that we may know them carnally, so we can put the light out of them. We can take that image of God from them. And that's what these perverts are after. They want to put the lights out of the creatures that God has made in His image for His honor and His glory. It may have happened 50 years ago, but that child is still crippled. What Satan wants to do is to take the glory away from you and from your seed. I've been paying attention, and I haven't noticed any young mothers in here that is with child. But I'll guarantee you what, most of us are grandfathers and grandmothers here today. But there's some of us that have children that are going to be barren. And it's time you start prophesying purity over your children. I prayed for my granddaughter in the courthouse parking lot. It embarrassed my daughter. And she was about 5 months pregnant with my first grandchild. And when that baby was born, myself and about 20 others came up there. And that child knew me. Her eyes did not take off of me. People said, move over so she can look at me. And she'd follow me. Hadn't never seen me outside the womb. But I prophesied over her. I prophesied over her a godly seed, and that she'd be a virgin when she married. It's time we begin to be what we are and begin to create the kingdom of God within our own families and our own household. As David said, as far as me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. It's right here. Bring those men out that we may know them so we can put their light out. We want them not to be able to shine. I'm going to challenge you now. I want you to turn to the book of John. And while you're turning to the book of John, I'm going to quote to you out of 1 John, the 4th chapter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God or not. I taught one of the ladies here today and spoke to somebody else. How do I try your spirit? I always want to pray, brother. I want to be the big boy on the block, you know. But how you try a spirit is get that other person to pray. And whatever comes out of their mouth is what's in their heart. Now, in the 5th chapter of John, we're dealing with one of the speakers earlier today about the Pool of Bethesda. Jesus said, it is from every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. And as we begin to read this in the 5th chapter of John about the Pool of Bethesda, I just want to point out a few points. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. And there was a sheep market or sheep gate, a pool, called in the Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Well,
Doc, when I read the word, I got to ask God what he's talking about. It says the sheep gate. Where's the sheep gate? We're the sheep. And the gate's where the sheep come in and out of, isn't it? And there laid a great multitude of sick people. And it describes them. It said there were five porches. I asked the Lord, I said, what are these porches all about? If there ever words important in those five, why did God put those five porches in there? And God spoke to me. He said, what are porches? I said, well, that's when people sit out on the porch and they relax and they watch people go by and they wave and people wave at them. Those five porches are you and I. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm going to challenge you. Where do you fit in the body of Christ? Brother Miller said earlier, we're a five-fold ministry here. And unless we have the five-fold ministry, we're not going to become victors over Satan. We're going to be victims. And that's what deliverance is setting the captives free. The five-fold ministry in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Who out there are apostles? There's apostles out here. Who are you out here? Stand up if you know what your calling is. Stand up and take your rank in the army of the living God. Prophets. Not one would stand up in here, but I'll tell you what a prophet is. It's one that can give the testimony of Christ. Are you a prophet? Are you giving a testimony of Christ? Then stand to your feet and take the rank in which God has called you to be. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is the body of Christ. And for us to keep our children from being molested, we're going to have the body of Christ. Action, working, warring soldiers of God. I'm made in His image and in His likeness, and I don't care what I did in the past. Jesus Christ has set me free. And He made me to bring honor and glory to His God and my God as kings and priests. And it's time that we rule and we reign and we minister to the body. How do I keep my children from being molested? Quit lying to them. Quit lying to them. And submission, this is my outline, Jim. Give one to Brother Miller, please. I've got mine blowed up, so I don't need my glasses. You tell your children about Santa Claus. You tell them about the Easter Bunny. You tell them about the Tooth Fairy. You tell them about the Starks. Then you try to tell them about Jesus, and you've lied to them, and they don't want to believe you. You've told them a fairy tale, and they can't trust you because you've lied to them. Quit lying to any and everybody, but speak the truth of the Word of God, what it says about a situation. And what it says is what I can have. I want you to each repeat that. What this book says is what I can have. And it's not maybe. It's not sometimes. It's every time. Brother Jim and I have been working together for 15 years or maybe longer. It took us several years before we flowed as one because we were different. But I've lived by the Word of God with no J-O-B and not pastor, no church or anything. 22 years, the ninth of this month. You can live by this Word. And I'm telling you, you better get ready to live by it because everything in this world is failing.
Yes. Yes.
And the only thing that's going to carry you through is the Word of God in you. Not in your book that you sit on the shelf, but what the Word is in you that you've got in you and nobody can shake it from you.
Amen.
How do I keep my children from being molested? That's the most wonderful teaching. And I don't have time to bring it all to you, but I am going to give you an outline. Being honest with them. Build integrity in your children and not conviction. Every parent tries to build conviction in their children, but what they need is integrity.
Yes.
My conviction when I was in the world is I'd never commit adultery. But it wasn't my conviction, it was my integrity that was weak. When my integrity is not on what my father said or my mother said, but on what God said. And it is not going to change. You can violate it. You can get outside of it. But the greatest thing that you can do is begin to receive your children even before they're conceived. I've been all over the world ministering to wounded spirits. I'm ministering to a young man right now, 34 years old, and his mother wanted to have him aborted, and his father saved his life. But you know what? That child knows that his mother wanted to abort him, and he's got a wounded spirit. Conviction is what I think I'll do. Integrity is what I do. Let that burn in your heart. Build integrity and always be honest and never lying. You set down rules that never change. For example, God set down rules and also told you the consequences of breaking those rules. We live in so much fantasy today that we don't receive truth even when it hits us in the face. Jim and I have ministered to so many people that want to get relief, quick fix, but they don't want to turn from their sin. I don't know whether Jim and I ministered with this one, but at Harlan Deans there was a young 17-year-old boy who was a homosexual dying of AIDS. He wanted to be healed, but he didn't want to be healed so he could serve God. He wanted to be healed so he could continue in his sin. And that's what's wrong in the body of Christ with deliverance. You're going to have to be sick and tired of your sin and ready to give it up, as my brother brought up earlier, repentance. Without repentance, there's no remission of sin, is there not? I mean, you're just spinning your wheels, being honest and never lying. The consequences always come with breaking of sin. I'm 68 years old, and I've been in the full-time ministry 22 years. And I have seen the Word of God come to pass in people's lives. And those that I've even went to school with and saw that they violated the Word of God. For example, two of the young men that I went to school with had relationships with their aunts. Those women died without children. And both of these men, one has already gone to his reward without children, and another one's still on the earth, but he will have no children. When my daddy told you something, he also told you what the consequences of it was. And he set down rules and regulations. And all my life, I knew where I stood with my father, my earthly father. Therefore, when I came to Christ, I knew where I stood with my God. That's the greatest thing that you can give and teach your children, is that you're an honest person. The Bible says that a righteous man changes not, even to his own hurt. My mother was a religious person. My daddy didn't talk his religion, he lived it. Are you talking your religion or are you living it? I knew where I stood without question when my daddy told me something. One day my daughter came to me. And I raised my two oldest children by myself. With the help of God, I raised good kids. She said, Dad, Jan and Alice and I want to take the car and go down to the beach and stay down at the beach for the weekend. Can I go? I said, well, no. I'm not sending you three girls down to the beach for the weekend. She said, but Daddy, Jan's mom and dad are going with me, with us. We won't be alone. And I said, well, honey, I'm sorry. If I'd have known that, I'd let you go. Well, then, since you know it now, can I go? I said, no, honey, I'm sorry. I already said no. Boy, my daughter learned something. She said, Daddy, don't answer till I finish. This may seem simple, but you'll build a trust that'll keep your children from being molested, and you'll keep an open door. And they can tell you anything. One of the most prized things that my two children have ever said to me was one, my 7-year-old son got his third motorcycle. And he came up to me and he said, Daddy, I feel like I'm at home in bed dreaming. You know, that kid didn't have to tell me, thank you, did he? But the greatest thing was what my daughter said to her friends. One of the girls started talking. My daughter said, "You better go talk to my daddy." And she said, "Oh, I can't talk to Dad." They all called me Dad, the girls. And said, "You can talk to my daddy about anything, boy. I'll tell you what, you want to feel proud that your daughter says you can talk to her about anything." Yeah. Well, I knew it was coming, so I set up a dining room table or something with nothing to distract them. I sat down on the couch and I laid my paper up on there, and I had a dental laboratory, which we needed a cigarette lighter all the time to light Bunsen burners. And here come Jan. She put her arm and laid her head on my shoulder and she said, "Dad, you know, Johnny and I been seeing each other and so on and forth." And what she came up and told me said that he had begun to fondle her breast a little bit. And I said, "Jan, do you remember when you came into the house just screaming and hollering, you saw this most gorgeous guy? You parents know what I'm talking about." And I said, "One day he touched your hand in the hall and you come screaming and hollering." I said, "Then one day he kissed you and man, the whole world come." I said, "That really felt good, didn't it?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, is that about the same way this feels?" I said, "But now you don't feel good about it, do you?" She said, "No." I picked up the newspaper, took a cigarette lighter and lit the newspaper right in the living room floor, the door. I had the front door open already. She jumped up and ran outside and stomped that newspaper out. Come back in and said, "Daddy, you gone crazy?" I said, "Honey, I just wondered how long it's going to take you to put the fire out." She and her boyfriend came in that afternoon and repented. And they vowed to stay a virgin until they married. And they did. That's what being honest will get you. Talk to their understanding. Quit closing the door with your convictions. Listen to them. Let them tell you all that's going on. And don't react. The moment you react, you've closed the door forever. Not just that conversation, but forever. Because you've judged them. And the Word says, "Judge not lest you be judged." But if you ask them, how did they handle it? And what was their integrity in the situation? You've left communication open forever. Be honest. Keep the communication open. Remember, Satan, they're using younger and younger people all the time. I have no idea how many rape and molestations and abuse. I'll go anywhere for one child. You don't have to pay me. My God will take care of me. But if you don't know how to handle a situation, you can call Brother Jim or I guarantee you what, the Lord will bring me there. And in just minutes, Christ can take what a psychiatrist can't do in 20 years. God wants to put their light out. And Jesus Christ came to give us life and more abundantly. And we don't have time tonight in this to go into. But I'm tired. I've tried the spirits of sugar diabetes. I've tried the spirit of arthritis and all these other sins and that have come up on the body of Christ. I'm ready to see us be the head, not the tail. Amen. And there's only one way to do it, and that's in the Word of God. Amen. And be honest and quit accepting the work of Satan.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Many of the breaches, wounds to our souls have led to many of these conditions. They're not always as a result of eating blood or generational curses, but a combination of the above. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm just kind of seeing what the Lord is doing here, too. Come on, Tamara. Let's be a blessing. We're going to bring you back for a minute now. Get you thanking for a second. We ask that our overseers would take it to prayer that at the conclusion we'll have the those that desire. Well, in fact, we'll have everyone stand and give a father's blessing, Brother Glenn or Brother Noel.
Praise the Lord. The Lord gave me a scripture, Psalm 60, about the breaches, verse 1 through 5. O God, you have rejected us because of our sin and the sins of our forefathers, and cast off, broken down our defenses, and scattered us. You have been angry. O restore us, and turn yourself to us again. You have made the land to quake and tremble. You have rent it open. Repair its breaches, for it shakes and totters. Now, when someone is incested and sexually abused, it's like a broken down wall. It's like you have a breach in your heart, and you shake and you totter. You're double-minded, and you have a lot of fear. And you have made, verse 3, you have made your people suffer hard things. You have given us to drink wine that makes us reel and be dazed. Now, incest also brings a dazy confusion, especially with authority, or especially if you think you're not being protected and they're making a decision that really is protecting you, but it's like a confusion comes over your head and makes you think that they're hurting you like the abuser hurt you. And it makes you not want to submit even to God. It's a bondage, a great bondage that the Lord wants to deal with. But verse 4, but now you have set up a banner for those who fear and worshipfully revere you, to which they may flee from the bow, a standard displayed because of truth, that your beloved ones may be delivered, and with your right hand and answer us. Save us with your right hand and answer us. Because we are His beloved ones, amen. And like Pastor Jim said, it leads to incest, leads to prostitution, promiscuity. It's you think perversion is love. It's twisted. It's crooked. It's horrible. It even leads to emotional infidelity. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but you didn't get the proper love and nurture and listen to at home. So women will go to other men that are like not their husband and pour their whole heart out to him on an unrealistic, in an unrealistic way that's not proper. Our men would go to women, other women. And when you're only supposed to pour out your heart to God, and but if the Spirit leads. But that, you know, that's emotional infidelity comes with that. And just breach means to shatter. So literally your soul, your mind, body, soul, and spirit gets shattered through this trauma. And demon powers enter through that shattering. And this message was, I feel led to share this. This message was preached a year or two ago, and the people that have been incested by, 3 years or under, you don't know it. You don't know it happened to you. But you're bitter at authority, and you're angry, and you don't know why. And I searched and searched for 11 years to why I'm angry. And God showed me many roots, but it was like I could never get over it and get the full victory. And about 2 months ago, after I heard this message, I felt something click in me, and I knew something was wrong. And Pastor Jim looked at me and said, Sister Tamara, are you okay? And I said, yeah. But inside I knew I wasn't. But I wasn't ready for God to come in there. And I don't remember what happened, but something happened. And I knew in my spirit, I couldn't go any further. I had to get to the bottom of this because I was listening to worship about let God in deeper, you know, let His Spirit come in. And I was sitting on the couch, and my husband was trying to relate with me. And he was looking at me, and he was kind of getting on to me because I wasn't doing right. I wasn't being obedient. And all of a sudden, this confusion came over my head to where I could barely stand it. And I just started uncontrollably crying. And the Spirit of the Lord came over me, and He said, "Your father, you know, abused you as a baby. And this is why you're so mad." And I'm going to tell you, you know, I sat there and cried for 15 minutes. And it was such an overwhelming grief and an overwhelming trauma to me. But I was free. Then today, my husband said, "We need to do this." And it was making my body hurt. He was saying, "We need to fast." And my stomach was hurting. I said, "I want to eat." He said, "No, we need fast." And I said, "Okay." And I went, and I forced myself. But inside I could hear this anger going, "Ah, you're hurting me." And then I told my husband, "I'm angry." He goes, "Well, let's get to the root." I said, "Okay." Because I was tired of hurting in my belly. And I asked the Lord, I said, "Why am I so angry at Mike? Because he told me to fast and you want me to, God. But why am I angry?" And the Lord said, "Because your father forced you to be hurt by him." Mm-hmm. And I had a vow in my heart. I said, I break the vow, you know, that I'm not going to allow God to force me to do His will, even if it hurts. And when I did that, I felt nauseous, and I got delivered, and I just feel great now. I mean, that, up here worshiping, I was free. See, it's a bondage that keeps you as an enemy to authority. Okay? And, you know, God has been doing deliverance on my life for 11 years. He didn't show me all this until the very end. And after He healed me about the infant trauma, He said, "Tamara, this is the bottom of the barrel." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Because it's very humbling when you're getting delivered really loudly for 11 years. You know, and everybody's looking at you, "When are you going to get over it?" Well, you know, God has His time. Amen? And He sure humbled me. And thank you, Jesus, because I needed it. But, you know, the Lord is, He's great and He's mighty. And I can tell you right now, I feel led to say this. If you're sitting out here and you're angry because of this message and you're just, how can you stand to hear this? You know what? I could stand to hear it. I was sitting there and I was like, yep. But there is a Savior. There is a Savior who has gathered my soul from every shattered place that the breach was put upon me. And He has come to gather you. Now, this sin of incest through infant trauma, it could have been on your life or it could have been on generationally. There's a generational scattering. We have 2,000 or more, I don't know the exact number, of forefathers, you know, on our generation back. So we're generationally scattered. If it's not personally affected you, generationally somewhere. And we could all use deliverance on this subject tonight. So I would love to lead y'all through a prayer, if that's okay. Just everyone stand to your feet. My husband wants to give a testimony really quick.
I just want to give you a real short testimony. There was a great uncle of mine before I was even thought about being conceived or anything. And You heard him say Candyman. Well, he would come with a bag of candy to my dad and all of his brothers and do what he needed to do and give them candy to keep them quiet. Well, you know what? It traveled right on down a generational line. And when I was born, my dad decided he would do the same thing. And you know what? It goes right on down the generational line. And you know what? It's time we look and see and check out our families and the people we live around. My dad was an upstanding man in the community, and I love him. I loved him to death, but I hated the sin. And we need to learn to love people and hate sin.
Amen.
You know, we can't condemn the person because he's made in the image of God. But we can definitely condemn the sin. You know, and I still love my dad today, and he's dead and gone. But there's people everywhere. And like I say, he was an upstanding man in the community. Okay, upstanding mason in the community. Okay. There was a statistic out, and I don't know where it come from, but it said that they were more sexual abuse in a Masonic home than your average heathen home.
That's true.
Okay. Masonry is phallic worship. It goes into a lot of stuff. And my dad was Mason. My mom was Eastern Star. And when you see things like this happen, the other part of the... Usually... My mom said she didn't know a thing. She didn't suspect a thing. Right? Well, when all this got broke loose, there was a whole lot of children, a whole lot of names come up. A whole lot of them. My dad went to prison. Died in John Seeley Hospital in Houston. Okay? Cancer all over his body. Judgment from God. Well, I don't know whether he's in heaven or hell. But you know what? That's his problem right now. And I still love him, regardless. But it's time we learn to hate sin and love the people. Because a lot of people will condemn the person. And we're not... You got to love people. You just got to love them. My first wife that I married... claimed she would never do anything. She would hate people that do anybody like that. Her family done her wrong. She ended up doing my family wrong. And you know what? God has been faithful. And you know what? Even though I hate the sin that happened to my children, I still have to love that woman. Because one day she might be a Christian. One day she might be in the family of God. And I still have to pray and tell my children, let's forgive. Because we can't harbor the bitterness and the hatred because these things happen. And I just thank God that He's faithful and that He can deliver. And you take a little child like that. I've seen pictures of myself. And I see pictures where I was a little young boy, smiling, happy, sparkle in my eye. And I see other pictures where there's no sparkle. There's a frown on my face. And you know what? You'll never know the damage that it does unless you live it. Unless you've been there. And it's devastating.
Amen.
Leaves a hole in your heart. You're always searching for something and you never know where to find it. It puts a fear of authority on you. I had fear of man like nobody's business. I was always picked on in school because of it. Because that fear of man that was in me caused people to come and pick on me at school and different situations or whatever. But it's devastating. And it's time the church rose up and did something about it. It's time we start praying and lifting it up to God. And I'm talking to myself too, because I'm in the church and I got to do my part. So I'm not just, you know, it's everybody. Everybody's got to stand up and do their part. But I'm telling you, it's devastating. I lived it. My children are living it. And by God's grace, all of us coming out of it. Because God is faithful. And if you've been there, I just want to let you know that God is faithful. And He's able, no matter how deep the wound is, no matter how deep the pain is, God can reach down and pull you out of it.
Amen.
My spirit was crushed. God lifted it up.
Amen.
And I'm thankful. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord. There's some people in here that were abused in that manner. And y'all just pray with me. I just want you to pray silently in your heart. And I'm just going to pray. And you just repeat after me in your heart, and you agree. Lord, we just forgive our fathers. We forgive our mothers, Lord, for infant trauma concerning incest. Lord, we forgive them. We forgive them for that when they were trying to help us, that they hurt us. Lord, that when they were trying to clean us up, they hurt us. And Lord, we forgive them. And Lord, we break the vows that we're not going to let anyone in this part of our heart. We break the vows, God, that we're not going to let you in. God, forgive us for a hard heart. Forgive us for rebellion. Forgive us for anger at authority, murder at authority, hatred of authority. We forgive our fathers for this demonic control. Lord, we forgive our fathers for this power of control that they exerted and our mothers that they exerted over us. As infants, Lord, we forgive. And Lord, forgive us for bitterness, Lord, in our heart. And Lord, if this sin has been upon us or our family, our generations, we ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would reveal to your people now that they wouldn't have to walk 11 years wondering why they're mad at authority like I did. God, that you would pull them out of that miry pit right now in the name of Jesus. That you'd pull them out of that darkness into your holy light. And Lord, we break soul ties with our mothers and our fathers and our family members and our uncles, aunts, cousins, and friends, brothers, sisters, teachers. Lord, nursery workers, we break soul ties with them. We forgive any nursery workers. Lord, we forgive in Jesus' name. We forgive. We forgive any nannies.
Yes. Amen.
We forgive them. We forgive them for incest or abuse, sexual abuse. Babysitters, we forgive babysitters in Jesus' name. And we break soul ties with them and we sever every cord of control, linking their souls to ours. You just repeat after me in your heart silently. We call our soul and spirit back from them. Send their souls and spirits back to them. Exchange their image for the image of Christ. We cut the silver cord. We cut every unholy union between us and them that was made if the sin was put upon us or our forefathers. We take accountability of this, God, and we ask you to cleanse our womb conception with the blood of Jesus from all defilement in Jesus' name. And we just ask you to deliver us. Now, everyone blow out. We just break the power of incest in Jesus' name. We command every spirit of incest, hatred of God, antichrist spirits, hatred of authority, bitterness, the mountain of bitterness, I say move. The mountain of incest, I say move. That confusion, all shattering, we command it to go. Every spirit, all shame, we command every spirit of shame to go in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to send the water from the throne of heaven to wash your people. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the word cleanse means to make cool, to make cold, to wash clean. God, I ask you that by the power of your word and your the blood of Jesus, that you would wash your people clean. Every spirit of hurt, pain, vexation, torment that's entered through this, every spirit of a hard heart, y'all just blow out. Every spirit of a hard heart, go in Jesus' name. Hard heart, go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All hurt, pain, all deep hurt, deep wounded, wounded spirit, we command it to go in Jesus' name. All mental illness, hysteria, go that entered through this. All confusion, go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that entered your people through this sin that was either done to them or the sin of their forefathers, we ask you to remove it from them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All walls that are blocking them from walking in their destiny, we tear them down in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. God's love is here. He loves you. All embarrassment, go in Jesus' name. All hurt, we pull out that arrow of incest. We break the power of that witchcraft yoke of control of incest. That witchcraft yoke, I break it off of everyone. That iron yoke of witchcraft, I break it off of their shoulders. In the name of Jesus. Sex slave, I break your power. Prostitution, promiscuity, go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord, that lie, that twisted lie that says perversion is love, that I have to get attention through perversion or being all seductive spirits. We break your power. The image of the abuser, we break your power in Jesus' name. The familiar necromancy spirits of mother and father, come out. The necromancy spirits of forefathers that abuse their infants, we break their power. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of pedophile, we break your power. That mindset, retardation, bestiality, we break your power in Jesus' name. Unclean spirits, unholy spirit, we break your power. Resistance against God, we break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pray. All mind control, witchcraft, we break its power of the abuser in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of mind control, we command it to go. Blow out. Blow out. Go. Every spirit of mind control, all heaviness, go in Jesus' name. Loose. Loose God's people in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All inability to receive or comprehend God's word or God's way, go in Jesus' name. We break every spirit of death. Abaddon, Apollyon, the angel of the pit of death and destruction, I break your power in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Every curse of poverty, we break its power that came in through incest. We break its power. Praise you. All curses of passivity, we break it in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We break the belt of cursing, the garment of cursing. We take it off in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to bless every place that's been touched by the enemy. We ask you to bless God's people. God, we ask you to bless them and cleanse them. And what? Just lift your hands. We ask you to bless God's people. Bless them, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. That you'd give them the grace to forgive and to walk in love, God, in Jesus' name, that you would take them to the other side, to the glory of the cross in this area, that they could stand here in glory in your power and your anointing, that you set them free. Thank you, Jesus. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy, the everlasting joy shall be upon your head, in Jesus' name. Be seated.
You may be seated. At this time, we'll turn over the conclusion, the fourth part of this ministry of the Lord to His children, to our overseer, senior elder, Brother Noel.
God bless you.
Brother Glenn is the pastor, but I went down the next level of chain of command. I just come up with a name there. I don't know.
God. And when I'm here, you know, Glenn says, I want you to go down to the jail. I want you to run down there and buy this and go here and go there. You know, I'm the gopher. It's a pleasure to be Glenn's gopher, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. You know, I wanted to pray a father's blessing. You'll stand with me, please. Say, you're my children. You're a gift from God. I thank God for allowing me to act as your father. I want you to know that you're very precious and that I love you. You've given me much joy and I'm very proud of you. I bless you with healing from all the wounds I and others have caused you. I bless you with overflowing peace, peace that only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, provides. I bless you with fruitfulness in life, good fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I bless you with prosperity, for you will prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are light of the world and the salt of the earth. I bless you with success, for your meditation upon the Word of God will make you like a tree planted by rivers of water, and your way will be prosperous. You will have good success. I bless you with greater depth of spiritual understanding and a closer walk with you, Lord. You will not stumble or falter, for the Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in life. I bless you with abounding love, enabling you to administer God's comforting grace to others. You are blessed, my children. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and give you grace. Pour out His grace upon you. And we speak to the mountain in your life now and we say, grace, grace, grace. And it shall become a flat plain. We thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 6 o'clock in the morning.
No. 6 o'clock in the morning, but you're not dismissed yet. You may be seated. The problem, one of the main problems of the of our young people and of you and I, is that our pastor and our Sunday school superintendent and our Sunday school teacher never taught us what God's Word said when we were children. My mother and my father never taught me. And most of you, your mother and your father never taught you. And God said in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy 27, God said, thou shalt not have sexual relations with your brother, with your sister, with your cousin. God said, you shall not have sexual relations with an animal. God said, you shall not have sexual relations with your uncle or your aunt or your mother or your father. God said that if you do, you're cursed to the 10th generation. And my mother and my father never told me that, yet they were Christians since I was a year old. My pastor never told me that. My Sunday school teacher never told me that. And my Sunday school superintendent never told me that. Therefore, we as children did the things that God said we should not do. But if my parents had said, God said, it would have made a difference in my life and in the lives of those that we as children did these things that God said don't do. And we did everything that God said don't do because we were never told that God said don't do it. Now, my mother and my father said, oh, shame on you, you shouldn't do that. But never once did they say, God said, don't play with your sister. Don't play with your cousin. Don't play sexually with the little girl that lives next door. Or the boy. Don't mess with the dog and the cat. We were just told, shame on you for doing that. But you see, God said, don't do it. Amen. And we need to tell our young people, and you young people here, that God said, you do not have any kind of sexual relations or play with each other, because God says you're cursed. and all these problems that you see in the world today are here basically and mainly because those before us never taught us that God said, don't do it. So I'm standing here tonight saying to everybody that hears me or hears this tape that God said in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy 27, three times he said, you shall not do it. Then he said in Deuteronomy 27, if you do it, you're cursed. And so we've come down under cursings in our lives and didn't understand why. And today the Lord is revealing the causes of our problems, and it falls back to the fact that God said, and we didn't know it, and we didn't obey God said. So today, and in times to come, when situations arise, and to you young people, that something happens that you're tempted in some way, remember that God said, not your mother, not your father, I hope they did. Not to whoever's your guardian, I hope they do. But remember that God said. And that's more important than what your mother says or your father says or your guardian says. Because God says if you do these things, you'll be cursed. And your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren will be cursed to the 10th generation. And most of us, dear Abby said in one of her columns, that incest is the closet demon in every family. And I believe that. I have found over a period of time as ministering with people, I believe that incest is the closet demon in every family bar none. Because it carries a 10-generation curse. And sexual sins carry a 10-generation curse. And the only way they can be broke is through the blood and the name of the Lord Jesus. And the fact that we tell Satan, it is written that Jesus' blood cleanses and washes me from sin. Amen. Amen. Well, let me see. Just a second here. Let me look. I got just enough time to pray over incest.
Praise the Lord.
Father, I come this evening, and I lift up all those in the sound of my voice, and I come against the spirit of incest in any way in the family lines, and I come against and I go back for 30 generations, and I put the blood of Jesus to separate and to cleanse in the family lines the spirit of incest, and I bind and break that spirit over every person present here this evening, and I put the blood of Jesus to wash and to cleanse in the area of incest that has come down the family lines, and I break that curse and I release us from it, and I release and I pray that the anointing and the blessing of the Lord to be our portion as we go forth with an understanding and a knowledge that Jesus is Lord over us, and that He requires that we know that He said it is written, and we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God that we know what is written, so we can stand against Satan and declare to him, devil, I don't have to do these things that others do because it is written in God's word that I shall not do it. And devil, I tell you, it is written, flee from me in Jesus' name. And all you young people, you need to stand. You are tempted. And there's many of you here that have been tempted and you've been confronted with these things. And some of you have yielded to those things. But Jesus said that he came to cleanse us and forgive us. And if we call on his name, he will forgive us. Amen. Father, I thank you now again for the word tonight that's come forth. Help us to hide it in our hearts. Help us to make it a reality that we walk in ways of righteousness and declare, for Jesus Christ is Lord, and by his blood we have forgiveness of sins. And I thank you for it. Amen and amen.
Amen.